From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's our little iPod show with Shannon Young and the little guy from Gaming Grounds. And also a girl.
And also...
Hey!
Why do you only get the name?
What's up, Podzilla fans? It's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man on this Tuesday, April 5th, May 5th, May 3rd. Jesus!
Something. Who knows?
Can't get right already. Shannon Young here with you, Mr. 100. We got Asa Gray, the five-star man down at the end of the table.
That's me.
And Ali Abair, the producer of these fine shows here.
Hello.
To our right. And let me start off by saying, I ran into an old friend today. Let me share a quick story with you. And hello to all of the people listening, to this on Gaming Grounds, because we are posting this show to Gaming Grounds. So we're going to try to keep it clean for you too. As best we can.
We's gonna behave ourselves. Well, it's a happy topic.
It is a happy
topic. We're not talking about wrestling or...
Or life.
We'll see with you two how happy it will stay.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Well, here's a happy story to start off with. I ran into an old friend today at Hastings, Mr. Kevin Casey. And, Kevin had heard some things through the grapevine that we had said some not so kind things about him here on the show. Kevin Casey, of course, from KGMO, wonderful man with a magical voice. And he had heard some things that we had said, myself and this little guy that used to work at that works at Real Rock, and heard that we had said some things about him that were less than flattering. You know, working in the entertainment industry, working on this show, I've made quite a few enemies from the things that we've said here. Quite a few friends that I used to have are no longer friends because of what we say on this show. And I want to point out that most of what we say on this show is for entertainment value. We say some shocking things. We say some things that are a little bit over the top because we're trying to make you laugh. We're trying to entertain you. A lot of what we say is not true, and it's just for the show. Kevin Casey is a lovely man. Beautiful man. He's nice and friendly. So if Kevin Casey were listening to this, greatest radio personality I've ever met, and a true good guy. So I just want to put that out there. Stellar gentleman. Let's put the rumors to rest now. There's no beef between myself and KGMO, former KGMO superstar, Kevin Casey. Wonderful man. So I'm going to start that off, and we'll get that out of the way. Now let's move on to the meat and potatoes. Asa, how have you been?
All right. Just got back from the Indianapolis Comic Con, which we talked about on Nerd Up.
You did, and I listened to part of it today. It's a fun show. It's always fun to hear about those personal experiences, like my personal experience I had today with Kevin Casey at Hastings. You had a good time?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was the first, like, big convention I'd ever been to.
And I've never been to a big one, but the small ones that I've been to have always been fun.
And it's not like it was, you know, it's not like a nationwide, like, huge one like the San Diego one, but it was a... On a really bigger, is on a much bigger scale than anything that comes through this area.
What was the name of this one?
This was just the Indianapolis Comic Con.
So it was a Comic Con. It wasn't an anime convention.
Yeah, it was a comic convention.
So much better.
I mean, to me.
Yeah, anime conventions are weird.
Well, I mean, there's other people that enjoy those, and that's fine. But
Lindsay was a big anime fan, anime convention fan. Before she and I met, she went to them all the time with her friends, and we kind of went to some afterwards. But I never really got into them as much as she did, because to me, I've not been to a Comic-Con other than the Cape Comic-Con, which we did go to a couple weeks ago and was a lot of fun. But anime conventions just kind of weird me out. The people that are there, and it's not everybody, of course. I don't want to stereotype everyone and make a general statement. But some of the people that are there are so awkward and have no concept of personal bubbles. And if you've ever been to a convention, you know what I'm talking about. And to me, it seems like anime fans are a little worse than
that. And there was
a
little bit of that at this, but for the most part, everyone seemed normal and cool.
Which is good.
And there was definitely overlap. Like, there was a lot of anime stuff involved there. There was even, like, the Animazing panel that had the voice of Vegeta and Goku and the voice of Korra.
Korra's not anime.
She was part of that one.
I have a problem with that, but that's a different show for a different time. I don't know if anybody out there, if I sound different, but I've been the same cold that I was battling last week when you took over pro wrestling for me. Mm-hmm. I'm still battling, I guess. At this point, I don't know.
This might just be your life now.
Yeah, in the interest of fair disclosure, what is it called?
Full disclosure?
Full disclosure. I'm tired. I haven't slept. I haven't had a night's sleep in over a week. I've been sleeping for about 2-3 hours per night. I wake up every night around 3 or 4 a.m. I've slept for about 2-3 hours, and then I just kind of sit there and pray for death Death hardly ever comes. So far.
Very rarely.
Last night I did manage to have a panic attack.
Ooh.
After I woke up. So I'm having a great time. My eyes are burning right now.
Whee!
I can't make the offensive jokes that I want to make.
Happy topic.
This is a happy topic.
You wishing for death.
No, Whee! No, it's the panic attack that's happy.
The post you made about the, I guess it was it Amazon's video game development software. That was happy.
And I posted that on Gaming Grounds. I don't know how Lonnie didn't take that down ever.
He might not have seen it.
I think that was one of the first things Calvin ever saw that Calvin ever liked. The worst part about this thing that I've got though is that my left ear, I can almost hear nothing out of it other than ringing. So it's muffled.
It's just the vending machine.
No, that's terrible. And you can hear that on the show, by the way.
Yeah, you can?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like there, especially like parts where it's quiet.
Yeah.
You can hear
that rumbling in the background.
We're actually on a farm. We're not in the store. We're on a farm.
We're in the video game farm.
There's tractors in the background.
We actually sell farm equipment and farm related accessories. The only games we carry is John Deere.
Farming Simulator. Farmville cards.
Yeah. Farmville. Oh my god. Do you carry Harvest Moon? That's too good. But hey, you know what? That kind of ties into what we're going to talk about tonight. We actually have a topic.
Yay.
Yes.
I always want to out nerd up. Because sometimes I get jealous. I'm not going to lie. I get jealous that they get to talk about fun things like video games and movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And generally, Shannon's the one that talks about, well, other than wrestling, I'm the one that talks about like serial killers and
politics and terrible events.
And I never get to do fun shows, really. We did the Ninja Turtle show months ago.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. So I wanted to do something fun again tonight.
And even our comic book shows kind of get a little yelly.
And they're dark, too.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
If you guys are new to the show, go back a couple weeks and listen to the Batman Punisher episode that myself, Allie, Asa, and Ethan was on.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's one of my favorites, and it does get into some really dark material.
Yeah.
And dark thoughts. You know, kids, if you're under the age of 18, get your parents' permission before listening to Podzilla 1985. Right?
Pause it. Show.
Go check right now. Put your credit card info in. Don't do that.
Put it in. Put it in the comments.
Oh,
we're
going to
post the show. Put it in the comments.
So the reason I wanted to do this show, we're going to do a show about video games and video game memories. And it came about because we picked up Dark Souls 2 weeks ago, I think. Dark Souls 3.
You did, yeah.
I did. And I've been watching Bob play it because Bob, my roommate, swore he would never – Jack McNeil, for those of you looking for him on Facebook – he has like 40 friends. I suggest everyone go add him.
I'm one of them. I'm special.
No, I thought he had a specific number of friends and he won't change it.
I think he did say that, but I don't know how accurate that is. But we were playing Dark Souls and I've been watching him play and it made me think that, there's so many emotions that I see him go through during Dark Souls. None of them good. Hardly ever is it an exciting, look at this armor I got. It's more of the kind of things I can't say on this show. But, man, that emotion.
Why did I roll?
Why is it that these guys can swing through the walls, but I can't? How is that fair? But man, that kind of stuff, that raw emotion, that is stuff video games pull out of you. And
yeah.
There's everyone that asks, why do we work at the video game store?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not always fun, despite what you may think. It's because we love video games and those things that video games bring out of us, those memories, some of my best memories are video game related.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about that tonight.
Okay.
So.
Here we are.
You go.
Me. Oh gosh, I didn't expect to talk about this.
yeah, because
I didn't plan this at all.
I was at work this morning, and I was actually kind of thinking. I was like, "Oh, what could we talk about for the show tonight?" And then we hit a slow spot, so I looked at my phone, and it was like, "Tonight on Mr. 105 Starman." I was like, "Okay, good. Pressure's off."
Yeah, I had this
Shannon
thought,
already picked something.
I had this thought last week, and I saved it for this show. I thought about doing it on Thursday, but mm-hmm. I think me and Asa could pull something out on this. And then, of course, Allie joined in because she has a couple memories.
The producer.
she remembers a couple things.
Yes.
My video games started when I was a wee lad. I don't remember when the original Nintendo came out, but I know we had one. And the only reason we had one is because my friend Jeff, who was in jail, I just want to mention that for armed robbery, he had a Sega Master System. I didn't know what it was at the time. I know now from working at Gaming Grounds. He had a Sega Master System. And I played this game on there where you just kind of ran left to right punching pigs. And I know you're thinking, well, that doesn't sound great.
It sounds like a Simpsons game. Like a game that the Simpsons,
Bart would play at the
pig
arcade.
Puncher.
But it was so much fun. And I remember telling my mom, I was like, I want one. Get me one. And I was a small child. Back then I got things. She instead got me the Nintendo Entertainment System, which it made me angry at first because I was like, that's not what I wanted. This doesn't have Pig Puncher. What's this Mario Brothers? I don't want this.
That's not gonna be that's Mario Brothers is lame.
It's stupid and old. I can't say what else he said. Long story. So we pop open Mario Brothers on Christmas. I got it for Christmas, and I could not play Mario Brothers. I wanted to so badly because by this time I had played it at Walmart on a kiosk, like a demo.
Oh yeah.
And I was hooked. But instead, while setting it up, my dad saw Duck Hunt. And he played Duck Hunt the entire night. It's the only time I ever remember my dad playing a single video game. And he played Duck Hunt as I sat there on Christmas waiting to play Mario Brothers, which I never did that first day. That was my first memory of video games.
I don't remember the first one, like my first memory. I remember going to, I don't even remember where it was. I want to say it was like, back when Kids World was a thing.
Yeah.
But maybe before that, because there was a little place on Town Plaza that you could rent video games. Mm. And I remember we rented a Super Nintendo game, but we had the Sega Genesis. Because I think the Sega Genesis was my first system.
Right.
So that was the first, real memory that I have with it. But my mom would always be kind of, engaged with it. She would play with me. I don't even remember what the first game that I played was. The first, real concrete memory that I have with, a home system is getting a Nintendo 64 for Christmas. And we got GoldenEye to go with it. And my stepdad, who, especially at this point with how young I was, me and him didn't really get along until I was out of high school. I mean, we loved each other and, but we weren't, we wouldn't call each other friends.
You loved each other, but you didn't like each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really just because we were so different. I always wanted to be inside playing video games. And he grew up where you went out at sunup, you played outside all day until sundown, maybe come home for lunch, and that just did not interest me, because I didn't have anyone really that I wanted to play with in my neighborhood, except for, a couple of people, but they also would rather be playing video games, so, none of us wanted to do anything outside.
That's how you bonded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Christmas Eve we're playing, and he's actually, he took a moral stance against video games for the most part. He hated that it was something that you did indoors. But so he actually got really into GoldenEye, and we would play that together, and it was one of the first things that we actually bonded over. And then, I spent the weekend at a friend's house, and I came home, and I was like, hey, I want to play GoldenEye, do you want to play? And he's like, no, I'm probably not going to play that anymore. Okay. So I go downstairs, and I start playing. A couple days later, I hear him telling the story. Apparently, when I was at my friend's house, he and my mom were downstairs, because I pretty much stayed in the basement, because that's where my TV was, that's where all my games were.
Yeah.
They were downstairs, he was playing GoldenEye, and my mom was eating, peanuts or chips or something, and she started to choke. And she was, legitimately choking, and my stepdad didn't stop playing, because he was so wrapped up in the game, until she finally coughed it up. And he realized, after the fact, oh, I was so wrapped up in this that I didn't even notice that this was going on. I can't do that. That's not good.
Yeah.
So he, after that, he just did not play anymore. I actually just got them a year or two ago, a Wii for Christmas in Tiger Woods, because they love golfing and stuff like that. I don't know how much they actually use it, but.
So he quit playing because he was afraid that it would kill somebody.
Wow.
Pretty much. He legit, I mean, and we laugh about it now, but my mom was mad. He was mad at himself because he got that wrapped up in this. And which to me was that was the most amazing part. It's like, oh wow, he actually liked that much.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of the 64, I don't know if I ever told this story on the show before, but when I got my 64, I knew I was getting one, but my mom was a waitress. And my dad was on disability. So my mom would go to work. And what I would do is I would sneak out and I would tear my packages open at Christmas just enough to see what they were. Mm-hmm. I saw it was the 64. So I would literally unwrap it and play it while she was at work and then wrap it back and put it under the tree and hide it in the corner when she got home. And my dad caught me one day and I thought I was in trouble, but he just sat there and watched me play and never said a thing about it. I was very sneaky as a child.
I was never that bold with Christmas presents. Like the worst I would do is I would ask if I could decorate my presents. So I'd put like stickers on them, but I would always tear a hole and then try to figure out, like, see what it was and then put a sticker over the hole.
That's pretty clever.
I guess I was just reckless. I would just sit out there all night like a surgeon. I had a little box cutter, and I would be sweating as I'm sitting there trying to cut the tape just right where it wasn't noticeable.
When your friends would have to come over and be like, moisture.
Dab me down.
Dab.
But it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed Mario 64 a lot. That damn level with the penguin. Where you have to get the baby penguin to his mother.
Oh, yeah.
Still haunts my dreams.
It's like, so you open it up on Christmas, like, oh, wow, you're already like, why is there a save file on this already?
Oh, yeah, it was a used copy.
It starts
those
like
don't
that.
Exist yet.
I actually think one of my first video games might have been a game that I completely forgot existed until someone brought one in here. Which was Ninja Turtles Hyperstone Heist.
For Genesis. I finally got a copy of that. Finally.
Because I remember, I always remember playing that game, but I guess I always assumed I had the Super Nintendo version, but I'm pretty sure I had that. Turtles in Time.
Which was basically,
yeah. And then so, but I think Hyperstone Heist, I also remember playing a lot of Road Rash.
Oh, I loved Road Rash. That was an amazing game.
But I think the actual first real memory of a game that I have is Pokemon. Cause I had a Game Boy. But I don't remember what all I would play on it. Like, I know I played whatever Mario was on there. I know I had Tetris for it. I was always terrible at Tetris.
I am the Tetris master. And it makes me feel bad because so many people I talk to say Pokemon was their first game.
Mm-hmm.
Even Lindsay, I'm pretty sure, was like Pokemon was her first.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's because I'm a little bit older than everybody else or if I just loved video games. Like, I got started earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Castlevania, DuckTales, mm-hmm. all the big Nintendo games. Trog. Is my game where I didn't know what it was until I saw it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the memories came flooding back to me of cavemen and dinosaurs punching each other and eating each other.
Yeah.
It's a great game. And I finally found a copy of it in St. Louis and I paid like $20 for it. It's like a $7 game, but I didn't care.
Right.
I had
you
to
just
have
wanted,
it.
You just
and
wanted
I have
it.
Not played it since I bought it. But I have it. That's the important thing. Allie, what was your first game?
The thing is my brother owned all the video games except for like one. And so I would just play his, but the first game I remember playing was actually on the Nintendo 64. It was one of those, like, arcade cartridges, so it had a bunch of mini games on it, and it was one of those.
That's not a bad way to start. Of course, you're just playing old games, but...
Yeah. I mean, and I remember, like, after I had it was when I had, like, a 64 and a PlayStation that I saved up money, or I had money saved up, and I went to one of our neighbors had a garage sale, and they had an original Nintendo. And I, like, lost my mind, because I had never had one before, so I was like, can I go buy this? It's like $45 and it comes with a bunch of games. And I was like, you don't need to waste your money on this. And I was like, but can I?
But I do.
She's like, I guess it's your money.
Of course, now you realize that it's not a waste of money.
No.
So many of those games are worth so much now.
Mm-hmm. And I sold them all again, eventually.
Yeah.
At various garage sales and probably like places like this. And
that's what I did with my Final Fantasy collection. Cause mm-hmm. I had almost every Final Fantasy game and I got rid of all of them. And when I worked at GameStop, there was this guy that used to come in. Nice guy, but he was one of those guys that he would want to hang out after work and talk to you while you counted down the registers. Nice guy, but he was very odd and very awkward. Well, he turned completely religious. After I had ordered all of these RPGs for him, we used to be able to special order, and I ordered all these RPGs for him. He's a big RPG nut. And then he turned, like, insanely religious.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that video games were getting in the way of his religion, which is fine. I have no problem with that. I won't judge. I mean, that's great if that's what you need to do. And he brings in a box of every Final Fantasy game and just hands them to me and says, here, you've been so kind to me. I want you to have these. So I got my entire collection back, and I still have those games.
Oh, wow.
I swore I would never get rid of them again,
mm-hmm.
and they're sitting on my shelf in a nice little collection with my figures.
That's pretty cool.
Figures. Figures.
Congratulations.
It's a hard word.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, Pokemon wasn't my first game. It's just I think it's probably because I was right in that target demographic. Like, Nintendo had a bullseye over my face. Like,
they had
sell it to this kid.
They had wanted posters. You went into the store, there's just the posters of you in the background.
Right. I go into Toys R Us, like, the people behind the register just start huddling, like, no, it's him. Sell him everything.
Get the games ready. He needs the link cable. He doesn't have friends.
It didn't.
Happy show.
Yay. No, I did. Just none that we played Pokemon. Cause I was a part of that group that didn't grow out of it. So like everyone else got more involved with like sports and extracurricular activities and other stuff. And I just wanted to play Donkey Kong. That's another one that I have is, I remember my mom also really liking Donkey Kong Country for the Super Nintendo. And so she would watch me play that a lot.
I loved Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo. I used to play it, especially, I remember there was one day where school got canceled the next day from snow. And it was right when I started playing the snow levels in Donkey Kong Country.
Mm-hmm.
And it just fit so perfectly. It was snowing outside. It was snowing on the game. Mm-hmm. It was one of those moments where I looked at the screen and I looked outside and I saw a dove fly by and it was perfect harmony. Everything was right in the world at that moment. Yeah. Hard game though.
Yeah.
Me and Devin Winter, when he worked here, we tried playing it one day just for fun. And we got to like the second level. I realized how terrible we were at it.
My friend Seth and I tried to beat Super Mario Brothers World for the Super Nintendo in an afternoon. We just got angry.
In one afternoon?
Yeah.
Ooh.
We just got angry. Like, yeah. We were so bad at it.
I did beat Super Mario World. I've beaten, I think, every Mario Brothers game.
Really?
Whereas everyone else can say, I beat every Final Fantasy, I beat every Assassin's Creed, I beat every Mario game.
And I have no claim to that. Like, I've always been someone who, I'm like the opposite of the completionist. Like, I've never really, like, I'll play games and I really enjoy them, but I always get to a point where I stop doing good and I get frustrated, so I take a break from it, or something else will come out. And then I start playing that. And then when I go back to the other game, I forget where I am.
Yeah.
Or I forget how the controls really work. And so I'm even at a more of a disadvantage.
Stores like this are terrible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And GameStop and Hastings, because you can just go trade in your game and get something else.
Yeah.
And I'm bad about that, of getting rid of games when I hit that point of, it was fun. Now it's hard.
And I'm probably not going to go back to it.
I'm not going to go back to it.
That's what I'm really trying to, like, cause I've just recently in the last year, I've gotten like 3 or 4 platinum trophies on games, which is huge for me. Like, it's like when I realize like, oh, I might actually be able to 100% beat a game. That's something I've never really been able to do.
I don't do it with this console generation or the last one, but like Nintendo and Super Nintendo, maybe it's cause I was a kid and I didn't have the money to just buy everything.
Right.
But when you got a game, you played that game to death.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't know how many times I beat Castlevania, or how many times I beat Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time.
Mm-hmm.
The levels don't change, but I would play them over and over again.
And that was a game that, like, I didn't beat Turtles in Time until I was in my 20s.
Really?
Because, and I'll tell you why. Slash.
Oh, yeah.
Slash.
He was a jerk.
This is a friendly show.
Friendly show.
Friendly show. Happy topic. Watching the language.
Happy topic.
But yeah, Slash.
That mother father.
Slash is a doo-doo head.
Oh my God. Really, John Cena?
Slash is poopy. It's because I don't know why. Like, I could not beat him. That prehistoric level, like, because I was really excited. I was like, oh wow, we're going through time. I can't wait to see all of the other levels. Oh, just
too
this
bad.
One?
Yeah.
Just this one? Okay, I guess that's fine.
And if you think that game is bad, do you ever play the original Turtles 2, the arcade game?
Oh, yeah.
I never realized how frustrating that game is. Like, the fact that every single foot soldier you come across will grab you, hold you. Every single one. Like, you cannot escape it.
Yeah.
That game, and I'm not even going to talk about the first Ninja Turtles.
No,
we've talked about it on the show before.
We have.
That will get us cursing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I also have, one of the more recent, like, important memories to me is actually one of the first times I hung out with Dalton. Because we both worked at JCPenney at the time. I had just moved back to Cape from living in Virginia. A lot of my friends either were still not in the area, or like, I had kind of just lost contact with after I moved.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of starting to get my feet wet with hanging out with these people from JCPenney. And there was a couple people who were also really big into DC stuff. So that's how I kind of got into the conversation with people. It's like, oh, someone just said Nightwing. I know about Nightwing. And this was right about the time Injustice came out. So, Michael Yetman, another guy that worked there with us, who I think did stand-up shows with Hunter, that little guy from Real Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
They did stand-up shows together. I love you, little buddy.
He's not a little guy.
I know
him. He's not a big guy.
He's the guy. So Michael had bought Injustice and invited Dalton and I to come and hang out to play it. But the memory wasn't playing that, because I, like, this is going to sound braggy, but I really don't mean it to be, But like, I just was winning pretty regularly because I think I just had more experience with fighting games than either of them.
The Tiger Blood.
Yeah. It runs deep. But so Dalton used his, like, he'd built up his meter and he did, like, it's like the X-ray moves from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But in the DC game. He did that as Nightwing and he puts his controller down.
He dropped the mic.
Because it would have killed me.
Yeah.
And he would have beat me. Except so the split second of the animation and then where the move goes, I just poked him. And it killed him because he had just a sliver of health left. And he just kind of sat there in awe for a solid, just like, I can't believe you just did that.
And he has
How'd you just do that?
He has been in awe of you ever since.
Apparently.
Yeah. A couple of my friends, actually Chad Green, that, you know, is on here, at the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
I met a friend through him, a friend named Justin Aiden. And we met because I went over to Chad's house once and Justin was there and I didn't know him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad had No Mercy on 64. We had a 40-minute ladder match. And at the end of that ladder match, that 40-minute ladder match, we were best friends, all three of us. We bonded so much over that one ladder match.
Yeah.
It was incredible. There was other times there was once at like 7 a.m. We'd stayed up all night and Chad lived in Grand Chain and I lived in Illinois and Mount City. And I messaged Chad. I'm like, hey, do you want to play some SmackDown? And it's like a 25-minute drive. And he's like right now, it's like 7 a.m. I was about to go to sleep. I was like, yeah, let's just stay up all night and play. All right. So he drove down 25, 30 minutes. We played one match and I was like, I'm actually tired.
Monster.
I went to bed and he drove back to Grand
Chain. Oh my goodness.
But it was worth it because it was an epic match.
Was
it? I mean,
wrestling games were so much fun.
They were I have so many memories with No Mercy.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
WrestleMania 2000,
WCW, NWO Revenge.
Those N64 wrestling games were amazing.
The more we talk about it, like the original Nintendo was my, and Super Nintendo to an extent, were my solo systems.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can remember playing those myself and enjoying the games on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until the Nintendo 64 came out that I really played with other people.
Because
I did play Mario Brothers with Jeff or Ninja Turtles with Jeff. A lot of games with Jeff. He's in prison. But the 64 is when I started playing with people I didn't really know. And we would always try to, it was me, Steve Bennett, and Sam Walker, and then another guy, I don't remember his name, but I know I didn't like him. We would kind of divide our time up between, they wanted to play GoldenEye, and I wanted to play WCW NWO.
Mm-hmm.
And we would fight constantly on what we would play,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to wrestle, and they wanted to shoot each other.
Yeah.
Somebody always picked odd job. Somebody always does.
You have to ban that. That's one of the ground rules going in.
We were young. We were inexperienced.
You didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I went to school with my good friend Jess. And he had a couple friends that he then introduced me to. And after the first weekend, we just like immediately bonded. His dad's actually the reason I work where I work now, because he was the manager there at the time. And then as he was leaving, he's like, hey, I know you don't like your job. You should come work here. Because I couldn't work there when he was there because I was always at his house. Literally every weekend. It was me, Jess, our friend Austin, and then MC.
Yeah.
As you guys know him.
Yeah.
I always called him Michael. But every weekend we would just go to someone's house, order pizza, and stay up for 2 days straight just playing video games. Playing, we would bring our own systems, hook it up to TVs. A lot of the time, Austin was a monster, and I'm pretty sure was undefeated in NFL Blitz on 64.
Mm.
No one could beat him. I came so close. I was down by one point, or we were tied. And so I go for a field goal. It's the last seconds of the game. I'm guaranteed to win because the field goal meter lines up. I hit it perfect, dead center in the green, and the guy misses. It's like a 20-yard field goal, and he misses.
You had the reverse moment of me in Donkey Kong Country where everything was wrong with the world at that moment.
Yeah, and yeah. I was just like, and it was just, he was just so smug about it, and
Well, you said MC?
No, this was Austin. Like, okay. This was,
because I could see MC being smug too. He had that smug grin.
He just kind of had that, just like, that just mischievous, just smirk. Like,
Matt Sin's got that too.
I just got a triple kill with a rocket launcher. That's interesting. Because that was the other thing that we played a lot of, was a lot of Halo, Halo and Halo 2 rockets.
I missed out completely on the Halo craze.
Really?
Never played a minute of Halo until Halo Reach, I think, was the first Halo game I ever played.
I know a lot of people don't like it, but I loved Reach.
I liked Reach a lot too.
Probably one of my favorites.
I think for a lot of people growing up, their Reach was my GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. Because those games, like for shooters, I still think Perfect Dark is like the greatest shooter of all time, other than maybe Time Splitters.
Oh, Time Splitters.
Because Time Splitters was amazing. Allie, yeah. These are all over your head,
yeah,
I assume.
Because
we were playing Time Splitters, mm-hmm. and we were playing, around your age, I would have been playing, and this isn't a joke about your age, I'm just trying to think of what I would be playing at the time. Probably wrestling. Because it got to a point where all I did was play Final Fantasy and wrestling. But while I was doing that, you were playing...
Probably Kirby Air Ride.
Kirby Air Ride. She got me to play that a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And literally, all we did was, like, for an hour, we just ran around a city, jumping on different cars and chasing
each
other.
That's all I did. Like, I would come home from school, and I would play it on the GameCube. And I wouldn't do the story mode. I wouldn't race or anything. I would just go into, like, the free mode, where I could just drive whatever car I wanted, go around the little town they had, and be cute little Kirby.
I think I put it on a race, and she didn't know there were race modes.
The only memory I had was just being in, like, this secluded little town.
Like, when people, like, whenever someone boots up, like, their save file of Grand Theft Auto that they've had for 2 months, and they've done, like, 2 missions.
Yeah.
Because all they do is just drive around and just kind of do the free mode stuff.
That's all I ever did.
Yeah.
Like, I never, on GTA especially, because I was never a big GTA player,
mm-hmm.
but when I did play GTA, all I would do was just drive around. Like, GTA 4, me and Bob and our friend Lawrence, who worked at GameStop, and a couple other people, I think Matt Sin maybe, we would play Grand Theft Auto 4 online together all the time. And mm-hmm. you know what you did on GTA 4 online? Nothing. There were no missions. There was nothing to do. But we would just drive and chase people, and it was so much fun. Like, yeah. You made your own fun on it.
Did you ever do the thing where you would just go to your friend's house to watch them play a game?
Yeah.
Especially if they had, like, a single-player game?
No. I never did that because everyone came to my house.
And watched you play?
I was the guy that had all the games. I have pictures on my Facebook of my friends sitting on a couch in my room with the blanket over them with popcorn, and they're watching me play Fatal Frame.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so scary, they're watching it like it's a movie.
Right.
I watched my brother and his friends play games.
I would,
Lindsay is too. She watched her friends play games a lot. She never really played much of them.
One of my best friends growing up, Andy, who has actually been in, like, he moved away, but he's actually been in the store a couple times. But he would always, like, he'd call me on the weekends and be like, "Hey, I just rented for Nintendo 64 or PlayStation 1. And I would just, like, go up there and end up spending the night, and I would just watch him play. And then, like, eventually we would start playing something, like, we would play something together. He's also someone that I would watch, I was never allowed to have PC games. When we finally got a computer in our house, my stepdad, again, was very adamant about, I did not spend this much money on a video game machine.
Yeah.
That's not what it's gonna be used for.
Right.
You're
gonna study, boy.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Our relationship was very Hank and Bobby. Like, as much as I hate to compare myself to Bobby Hill, I was absolutely Bobby Hill growing up. But so I would go, like, he had all the computer games. Like, I remember watching him play Diablo and StarCraft, and just all sorts of stuff. I did end up getting, like, Star Wars Battlegrounds.
Oh,
I think
RTS.
It was called. Yeah, it was an RTS. Wasn't very good, but I got to play a game on the computer, so I didn't care.
The first computer, well, actually, this relates to wrestling, because I had a computer,
mm-hmm.
but the first game I can remember getting for the PC was WWE Raw, when they ported it. Yeah.
The one for Xbox?
Yeah. And I bought it on PC, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but I'm pretty sure it broke my computer, because I installed it, and I could never get the computer to work after that. So we had to get a new computer, and then I was introduced to the game that would change my life forever, Ultima Online. If ever there was a game that, like, changed my outview on life, because this was the first MMO that was ever really released. There were a couple before it, but most of them were text. I think they were called MUDs. But this was the first really graphical one.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first game where you could get on and play with hundreds of thousands of people and talk to them and interact and do stuff. It was unheard of. And I made so many friends through that. Like, my friend Michelle, who I'm still friends with now, it was so much fun. We'd stay up all night playing it. We would have, me and Derek, we'd have Orcathons, which is what we called them. We had one account, but we all had characters on it. I would literally go to bed while they were there, and we would take shifts. I would go to sleep, they would play. They'd go to sleep in my bed, I would play for a little while. It was incredible.
That's awesome.
Never have that again. Thanks to Ultima Online. Which is still going somehow.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like it used to be.
Well, you said you found that there was the one game that you were playing the other day that it was the guy who did Ultima Online.
Yes, Shroud of the Avatar by Richard Garriott, Lord British. It's his new game because he got bought out by EA, who's a terrible company. And he's got a new game, which is still nothing like Ultima Online, unfortunately. It's the reason we love nostalgia so much is because nothing will ever live up to your first.
It's something that I said about the Ninja Turtles and something that, who is it? I think it was Hannibal Buress, maybe? But some comedian who worked on Saturday Night Live who said everyone has the version of it that they grew up with.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
So it was Hannibal Buress because, like, you all are over romanticizing the Belushi era. And, like, it's just as good now as it has ever been. It's just you have the fond memories attached to that particular version that nothing else is going to be able to stack up.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with, like, the Ninja Turtles. You have the 80s cartoon, or you have the 90s cartoon, or the video game version, or the live action movie version. That version is always going to be better than whatever is currently on now.
Yeah.
Because no matter how just great the reviews are, or, like, I can't stop raving about it, I know you enjoy it, that current run of the Ninja Turtles that's going on right now.
Oh, the Nickelodeon one?
The Nickelodeon one. Yeah. Like, it's great. But there's people like, oh, it's not as good. Like, no, it could never be as good as the gritty 2000s Ninja Turtle cartoon.
To which I'm a little older. Mm-hmm. So I always go, well, yeah, that one was pretty good, but it's nothing like that 90s show.
Right, yeah.
That was the classic.
Yeah, so it's.
Because it is.
That is actually one of the things, like, the way that they did the celebrity panels at the Comic-Con we went to, you had to pay to see each individual one, which was a bummer, because if I could have just done all of the turtles in one, I absolutely would have spent that $40.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I would have wanted to tell him was the only birthday, not the only one, but the first birthday cake or party that I remember having as a kid, I was still living in my house in Jackson, so this was like second grade or before, and it was a Ninja Turtle cake. And it was a Ninja Turtle themed party.
I never had a themed party.
I had a Powerpuff Girl themed party.
That's kind of awesome.
I had my own little special plate that was shaped like a heart and had the Powerpuff Girls in it. Everyone else just got pink plates. That was special.
I mean, it's your day.
Shannon looks sad because you never had a theme party.
Shannon's getting a theme birthday party this year, sounds like.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Shannon probably won't last to it. I'm pretty sure this is Shannon's last stand. We are still going to have a new owner of Podzilla 1985. That's the new contest coming up. If you'd like to own Podzilla 1985...
That's why Dalton wants to desperately win the prediction game so bad on PWU.
He wants the show.
Because he thinks that's going to give him the show.
That's how he's going
to
win.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to see the show when Dalton runs it.
Don't worry, he'll be gone. happy show.
Happy show. We got a lot of comments on Facebook for this one. So I know we could sit here and talk about, because there's so many other things I want to talk about.
I have one real quick story that I do want, because it's video game related.
Please share.
My friend Derek, who's currently in the Air Force, he lived in Jackson. His mom and my mom worked together. And I remember the first time we were supposed to hang out, my mom's like, hey, I have this friend. She has a son. He's about your age. You guys are going to play. And the last time she had done that, I ended up hating the kid. And I still.
Can you remember that kid's name?
I do, but I'm not going to say it.
You don't want to give him?
Because I don't want to give him the attention.
Gotcha.
Is it
Dalton?
No, it's not Dalton. So I was very apprehensive. And I was also terrified. Cause I am a nerdy, like, I'm not athletic, I'm not strong, like, if this kid starts picking on me, like, I'm screwed. And it turns out he was just as nerdy as I was. Like, we had all the same tastes, like, it was awesome. And it sucked that he lived in Jackson, because when you're a child, and you don't have a way of getting somewhere that's not your bike.
Right.
Like, he might as well live on the moon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, my friend, I would go over to my friend Derek's house, and he had, like, a bunch of awesome games. Like, that's where I first played the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers game.
Super or Sega?
Super Nintendo. Yeah. The Super Nintendo one.
Right.
Where all of the characters, once they morphed, were the same. Except it's just a different, the palette swapped.
Yeah.
Even the female characters were male.
Well, the toys were kind of like that too. Not to get off topic, but I had the Yellow Ranger toy, which was a man in Japan. Yeah. It was always a little creepy.
But so like, cause I always remember he would always have a new game. And it, as opposed to like, which, and I loved going over to hanging out with my friend Andy and watching him play. But if I went over to Derek's house and he just got a new game, he would play and then he'd just hand me the controller and be like, here you go. You try it. And it was the craziest thing. Like, oh, this is awesome. I actually get to play.
Yeah.
But so the story that I remember is we went to Hastings one day and we saw that the South Park game, like the first one, the terrible one.
The one on 64?
Yeah. I don't even think it was it might have been the racing game, but I don't think it was. Yeah. I think it was that first person.
It was just South Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were both like, we were not allowed to watch South Park, but we were huge fans of South Park. So, it was a ninja-like maneuver. Cause he went up to his parents and he's like, hey, can we rent this? And he also strategically placed his thumb over the M rating. And they said, sure. And so we got to rent it and play the South Park game and we peed on the snowball and threw it at people and it was...
It's amazing what entertains us at the time. Because I did like Duke Nukem back then. And it is terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and this game was awful. But it's just like, that's a memory that stuck out because it's just like, oh, yeah. Like,
he
was so, like, that was the most badass thing you could have done. Just like, oh, yeah, no, it's, yeah, we can play it. See, it's a game.
When the first Mortal Kombat came out, I begged my mom for it for Christmas, mm-hmm. and she was so hesitant to get it for me because, you know,
right.
Mortal Kombat is one of the reasons we have a video game rating
system. Yeah, it is the reason.
Yeah. But I had the Super Nintendo, so everyone assured her, don't worry. He might as well be throwing grapes at people.
Yeah.
You know, it's the most watered down, bloodless version, mm-hmm. and I still played it.
Because it's sweat.
But the first time I saw Goro, I still triggered,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know Goro.
Yeah. I'm
Goro Lowkick.
I'm familiar. Okay. R.I.P.
If there was ever a... Oh, God. If there was ever a character that ever instilled fear in me in a video game, it was Goro. That was the first character that I remember seeing. You know Goro, Allie, don't you? Forearm, the Prince of the Shokan. The first time I saw him, I was like, what the hell is that? How are you supposed to fight that thing? And then he'd pick you up with two arms and beat you with the other two?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Not cool. OP. Please nerf.
One of the greatest characters of all time. Let's get to these comments. We could talk about video games all night, and I wish we could because it's a lot of fun. But I promised that the voices could be heard, and we are the voice of the voiceless because I'm losing my voice still.
The one behind the one in 21 and one.
And one. First off, we got some returning favorites. Cody Sandusky, Mr. Sandusky from The Sports Show. Weekends on Podzilla 1985 Network. He did one solo on Saturday. Did a great job, by the way. I thought it sounded fantastic. And we posted it on time.
Yay.
Good for us.
Achievement unlocked.
Cody said, since my brother is 11 years older than I am, a lot of my earliest gaming experiences involve him and the hand-me-down consoles I received by way of him upgrading. The first game I remember playing is Super Mario Bros. 3 on a 13-inch black and white TV, which I used to play up to PS1 games, Super Mario Bros. 3. Which I used to play up to, PS1 games, Super Mario Bros. 3 and Mega Man X, the first Super NES game not named Super Mario World that I spent a large amount of my time playing. They hold special places in my heart as a gamer. I can attest to when I was a kid, I sometimes forget because I'm so used to having like a 60-inch television that growing up, my TV was a probably 22-inch, old tube TV that was in the living room. And I remember playing Rampage on it. If you remember Rampage?
Yeah!
Yeah, that was...
Oh, that's a wave of memories coming back.
It's not a great game by any means, but it was so much fun at the time. And it started my love of Godzilla, too, honestly. But yeah, it was just this tiny TV, and the screen would flicker, it would roll. But man, that was so much fun.
I had one of my friends, Ryan, who still to this day is one of my best friends. He's actually teaching in Albania right now. So I haven't really gotten, I actually just talked to him last weekend, on Facebook. But so what, we played, he was always a little bit more, he didn't get as into video games as I did, but anytime he came over, he would always humor me and play with me.
Mm-hmm.
Rampage was one of those games that we played with. The other one that I remember us playing literally all night until he literally fell asleep with the controller in his hand was, Gundam Wing. On PlayStation 1.
The
fighting game.
Oh, that was a great game.
That was an amazing game.
I love that game.
I want to get that. We need to order that.
I have that.
Do you?
I'm pretty sure I still have that.
Oh, it's such a, but that is one of the memories. Cause I remember cause we would take turns trying to beat the computer and the match started and he just like didn't even move. And I just kind of went to make fun of him and I was like, oh wow, how'd you do that? And then I realized his head was down. He was just asleep. He just fallen asleep, which was awesome.
That's
like, cause it was just one of those things where we'd done before, just like, cause we're staying up all night. It was probably like 3-4 in the morning.
And that, you know, when I was a kid, we would do that. But back then, because of those old TVs, like, you would pause the game because you couldn't save it.
Yeah.
And then you go to sleep and come back in. And my mom was always so scared that it was going to burn the image into the television, which I'm pretty sure it did for Castlevania. Because Castlevania is a hard game.
Yeah.
And I think it had a password system, but I hated it. So I just left the game pause. And I left it pause for like 3 days straight. And I came back because I was going to beat that game. You know what, though? I never beat
that game.
To this day, I've still never beat the original Castlevania. It's too hard. Jonathan Atwood, our old friend Johnny Atwood, he said, I can vividly recall the moment that turned me from someone who liked video games into a quote-unquote gamer. I was over at a cousin's house, and he let me put in the first disc of a little game called Final Fantasy VII. On PC, no less. Mm-hmm. I remember those. I'd played NES and Super NES games before.
You know, the relic of a bygone era, personal computers.
Before the cloud, back when they used discs.
Single-use codes.
But the first visual, the pan down from all those stars into the huge sprawling city of Midgar and back out again. All that iconic soundtrack. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. It blew my tiny little 10-year-old mind. I hadn't known you could make things like that in games before, and I wanted more. Final Fantasy VII was the first Final Fantasy I remember playing. I know I played the ones on Super Nintendo, but I didn't understand them at the time. I was not into RPGs. Mm-hmm. My forte was Mario Brothers and like Contra. Because I was a run-and-gun action platformer. Yeah. My friend Jeff, who is in prison, he swore to me that you could play PC games on a PS1. He was like, yeah, you know, the PlayStation 1, you could put a computer game in there and
discs.
Play it. Because it's a disc. And I was like, you're an idiot. Even back then, before I had the internet, I knew he was an idiot. Anyway, Aaron Picard. You know Aaron Picard.
We all know her.
Yes.
Yes.
When I mentioned to Allie earlier that we had comments that were from different people that weren't usually on the show, she said, oh, so it's not just Aaron Picard. Like, Aaron Picard, MVP.
Yes.
The true hero.
Most and best.
And his is a long one. So bear with me. He says, what are your desert island games? We'll answer that in a second. I got a hand-me-down NES from my cousins when I was in fifth grade, which I still have, but I'm afraid it went dead back when I was in college. Punch-Out is still the best boxing game. I still can't beat Link's Adventure, Battletoads, Ninja Gaiden, or Ikari Warriors. Of those, I have not beat any of them either, just for the record. I may have beat Ninja Gaiden because I did play it a lot when I was a kid, and I loved it. I never beat Link's Adventure, I know for sure. Battletoads, I'm Johnny Everyman. I could never get past the bike stage.
I'm pretty sure I just remembered my first video game memory.
Oh good, triggered.
Battletoads, Battletoads and Double Dragon.
I have that too.
Playing that with my mom.
Really?
Yeah. We did not do well from what I remember, but I'm pretty sure that I do remember playing that with my mom. And that was like I really think that's the first memory I have of a video game.
Best part about the first Battletoads game, when you paused it, it went doof, 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 doof. That's such a great song. Aaron continues, I mowed lawns for a summer in seventh grade to get money to buy my Super NES, and to this day it's the greatest system. Agreed. Best system of all time. Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, awakened my heroic imagination. Super Metroid is perfection. There is not a wasted pixel in that game. Storytelling-wise, what it does to create mood, atmosphere, and a sense of urgency with minimal cutscenes is still unmatched. The controls, challenge, music, and gameplay are all tuned to perfection. The amount of polish Nintendo puts on their games makes everyone else look lazy. That is true. Maybe not so much anymore, because, like, even the new Star Fox was a ground... I almost said Star Fox Ground Zero, and I know that's wrong.
I don't think that's it. That's Metal Gear Solid.
Is it just Star Fox Zero?
I think it's maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's
the new Zero. The new Star Fox game.
But it's so...
With the puppets.
Oh, that's terrible. It's so lacking, though, compared to the old games. Like Metroid Other M, a technically superior game to Super Metroid, but even looking at it from a non-nostalgic point of view, I still think Super Metroid... The Super Nintendo games were just so much better. I'm getting that look from Asa. Not quite the ditto look.
I don't think Other M was... We're moving on.
Well, when I say technically superior, what I mean is graphics, sound, stuff like that.
Okay.
The hardware is clearly superior.
Yeah.
But the Super Metroid game was just better in every way. Mm-hmm. He also says, I have a save file on the opera scene in Final Fantasy of...
Shannon's trying to read.
Okay. My eyesight's failing me because I'm so tired. But it hits 6/3 because for those of you that don't know, Final Fantasy 3 on Super Nintendo is actually Final Fantasy 6 in Japan. They didn't release, what was it? They didn't release 2 or 5 in America. So we had to wait. Well, was it 2, 3, and 5? Yeah, 2, 3, and 5 in America didn't come out till years later. Anyway, he has a save for the opera scene in that and Death Peak and Chrono Trigger. The opera scene of Final Fantasy VI made my top 10 list of greatest video game moments of all time. It's that good. I have been obsessed with Chrono Trigger since I got it and novelized 7/8 of it. I don't know what that means. It sounds good, whatever it is. Chrono Trigger is a fantastic game. My wife can beat me in Mario Kart, Tetris, and Dr. Mario, though I can beat her in Tetris Attack Puzzle League. We don't play fighting games. I've been obsessed with Fire Emblem for the last few years, though no game series has frustrated me more. Allie, you have some experience with fighting games, don't you?
Yes.
Were your brother beating the snot out of you?
Sometimes I would win.
Kind of like Smash Bros.
Whenever
now,
I smash the buttons in the right order.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Where things would happen.
You get the right button combinations and they'd move.
And I had no idea how I did it. No, just hope for it to happen again.
And last, I heard Lionhead Studios closed. They did. While I hate to hear about people losing their jobs, Molyneux, is it Molyneux? Is that how you pronounce it?
Peter Molyneux.
And Lionhead always overhyped, overpromised, and underdelivered with every game. Fable is one of the biggest letdowns of all time for me. I was so hyped for it. And then when it came out, it was a good game, but never lived up to what it could have been.
No. And then Fable 2, which was, oh, all that stuff that was going to be in Fable? It's Fable 2.
And Fable 2 was really good.
Yeah.
But still... Lacked.
Not what they even promised for Fable 1. Because it wasn't just, oh, everything that we wanted in Fable, it's going to be in Fable 2. And more! It's like, maybe do the first thing.
Jonathan Atwood replied to that. He said, most of the Pokemon series would be a Desert Island game for me. Tetris 2, not sure there's much else I can think of that I could just play over and over. My Desert Island games, if I had to pick three, there's a combo pack, Super Mario World / All-Stars for Super Nintendo, because that's five Mario games.
Right.
You can't
Which
beat five Mario games. Ultima Online, assuming that this island has a internet connection.
Right. But you can't actually
But
call
I can't
for
contact
help.
People, no. I was going to go with World of Warcraft because it's a better game, but I mean, if I'm going to die on an island, I want my Ultima there with me.
Yeah.
And probably, let's just say WCW, NWO, Revenge. I know No Mercy is better, but there was something about Revenge, La Parca, Alex Wright, Disco Inferno. You can't beat that.
That intro...
Where's the truck driver
and
Sting
in the middle of the road.
And then him and Hogan shoot lightning at each other through there. I don't understand it. Asa, what's your three Desert Island games?
I'm not prepared for this mentally.
Is your body ready?
No. probably Pokemon.
Yeah.
Even though that's another thing where it's just like I get to a point where I just can't grind anymore and I'm just done with it. But if there's literally nothing else to do, I guess that's a good time to do it. Man, I don't know. I want to say Mega Man X, but that'll probably just make me walk into the ocean because that was a game that I loved playing growing up, but I could only beat like Chill Penguin and like two of the other bosses.
By the way, best boss name ever.
Chill Penguin.
Chill Penguin. Now he's evolved into Netflix and Chill Penguin and nobody likes him.
Boo.
He's a bad
boo.
Penguin. The joke's bad and I should feel bad.
Yes.
Pokemon, Mega Man X, and it's another game that I just probably Grand Theft Auto 5.
You did put a lot of time into that.
I did.
And it was a lot of fun.
And I still want to go back to that online mode because they're still just adding
so much
stuff.
They just added
a new
mode to it today, I think.
Yeah, they're still just adding so much stuff for free.
So I don't know if this comes across this way on the show, but because my left ear is closed and I can't hear anything out of it really, and it's all muffled, I very much sound like George Norrie in my own head.
I don't know who. You sound pretty normal to me.
Yeah, it's just in my own head. By the way, I'll be going to see George Norrie.
Just live the dream.
At Lindenwood.
Yes.
In St. Charles.
Ooh.
I'm excited about that. We'll give you more details on that later. My old friend Stanton Friedman will be there. Ufologist, who I interviewed for Blogzilla 1985. I'm going to ask him if he remembers me. He won't. Spoiler alert. Allie, what's your three Desert Island games?
Well, Kirby Mass Attack, because that's like my favorite game.
She loves her some Kirby.
Yes, I do.
Who doesn't? Honestly.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Tough guys. Kirby's pink. He's lame.
I don't play that many games. So you think this question would be very easy for me to answer. What are the three games that I'll play?
Just say Kirby on all three of them. Well, Kirby Air Ride.
Megastars Collection. Cause then you get like...
six Kirby games.
Sure. And probably Super Meat Boy, because I play that sometimes.
I did get her hooked on Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
She liked that. She didn't...
Which just is some... like, and I don't mean this to sound condescending at all, but like that's surprising to me because of just how... I know how I get with games like that.
Oh,
that
she
require,
gets filled with rage.
That require that precise timing. Yeah. And as someone who doesn't... because I know you're not a huge, you know, gamer by your own admission, like that's surprising that when I think of someone who enjoys Super Meat Boy, I think of like a dedicated hardcore gamer.
No.
So she does pretty well though.
So it's yeah. cool that like it's, that's awesome that that's one that you would pick. It's just, it's a very surprising.
Cause that's not a casual game.
No.
I mean, you could make an argument that Mario's a casual game.
I mean, it's just like, okay, this has gotten too difficult for me. I'm gonna play Kirby.
Cause she'll do the same level 30 times and then just be like, rage. Like hardly ever do I see Allie enraged. That is one of the moments. Speaking of Allie, your mom answered.
Yes.
Or your dad.
Probably my mom.
Probably your mom. She said her memory is spending hours and hours of Christmas shopping to get that one game or new device that came out for Calvin and Allie, of course, then refereeing when they each wanted to play the other one's game.
I have a story that kind of goes along with this comment.
Okay.
So one year for Christmas, I really wanted Guitar Hero. I forget which one, but whatever one was coming out. And I got it. My name was on the package. I opened it. It was my game. But my brother owned the PS2. It was his PS2. And so Christmas Eve, because my family likes to open presents on Christmas Eve, we played it. All four of us played Guitar Hero. But after that, I would have to ask Calvin permission every time I wanted to play it. I would have to be like, hey, me and my friends want to play Guitar Hero. And be like, okay. But I would come home from doing whatever and he would be playing Guitar Hero. And I'm like, so hold up. This is my game.
Your game is my system.
So you don't have to ask me permission, but I have to ask you. And because even now, like Calvin today even said, I mean, I don't dislike her. So how do you imagine it was then, whenever I was younger?
Well, that was a little
younger.
Rough. Like, I was a little awkward when he said that.
And so I never asked him. I would just be like, I guess I can't play my game.
I just lied to myself and said it was a joke.
That he was just putting on a bit.
It was a bit.
I hope so, because she's so nice. Lindsay Wolfgang, our old friend, my old friend, oldest friend, other than Tanner, and Allie's spitting her drink out for some reason. I don't get the humor.
The way you just,
my old friend.
We go back. There's a little bit of history between us. She said, I never had my own system growing up. I can attest to that too, because I've heard this story 1,000 times. So I only got to play Nintendo at my friends' or cousins' houses. Naturally, because of it, my skills were never up to par, and I was doing good to make it to Mario World 2-1 in any given game. Lindsay is the god-awfulest worst player I've ever seen at Mario. She's the kind of person that will literally walk off the edge and just die. And I'll ask her, why don't you run? Is there a run button? There's two buttons. One runs, one jumps. It ain't rocket surgery. She goes on to say, Spyro the Dragon was the first real game I got to play on my own and work my way through, but even then it was on my little brother's PlayStation, so he was always hovering in the background. I never did beat it. I've had much more luck on my handhelds, and Pokemon will forever be my favorite, no matter what form it takes. Lindsay is the greatest Pokemon player I've ever seen in my life, and I mean that 100%. She is the master.
She's
Pokemon.
The reason I have all the starters and why.
She's like a Poke Savior is what she is. There was a kid at GameStop when we used to work there, because I worked at GameStop and she worked at EB. And this kid didn't know about Pokemon. He asked me, how do I do this? And I have no idea, because I'm not a Pokemon fan at all. I like the concept, but I never played it. So I said, go talk to the pretty lady over at EB. So the kid went over to EB and talked to her, and he was obsessed with her. He would go in all the time to see her. He said he was going to marry her someday. It was the cutest thing in the world. We got some other responses on our Gaming Grounds page. Thank you guys for replying on there. Jared Smith, he says, my first memory is that my dad and I had a Super Mario contest on the original NES to see who would get further. He would wait until almost my bedtime, then stay up later than me, then casually rub it in the next morning that he was further than me.
That sounds like something my dad would do.
I remember my dad and my mom tried to play Mario together once. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster. They literally couldn't get past the start screen. I had to show them how to put it on two players. Our old friend Mike Branham, Hip Gads. Hey, I play game and do stuff on YouTube. Make sure you check out his channel. Yeah, see, it's a plug.
I literally just figured. I always wondered what Hip Gads was.
Hey, I play games and do stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
And I always wondered what it was too. That makes sense.
He said, this game, and there's a picture of the Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse on Super. I have that game as well. If it's in the shop, just try to play the Bundle of Rage. I remember getting to the last boss, but don't think I ever beat it, and even that was an accomplishment. That reminds me of Super Star Wars Return of the Jedi on Super Nintendo. Did you play that one?
Mm-hmm.
I could never beat the last level. When you fly the Millennium Falcon out of the Death Star,
I wouldn't know because I never got past the first level.
Oh, gosh.
That's the one where you start on Hoth?
Happy.
No, that's Empire.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no. So I probably never played Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, because the first level, you start on Tatooine, you go to Jabba's Palace.
Yeah, didn't play that one because Empire was the most infuriating thing I'd ever done.
The Super Star Wars games were the hardest things ever.
I was convinced that I had rented a broken copy because there's no way this game could be this hard.
That's that Super Nintendo hard, man. And yeah. Nintendo, they don't make them like they used to. Our old friend Nate Smith said, I've only cried during 3 games. But of those 3, I have never cried so much until Undertale's neutral ending. The story is so sad, yet sweet at the same time. Also, no reaction can match my squeal of joy / shock when Cloud Strife got announced for Smash. Finally, in my excitement when I got my copy of Kingdom Hearts 2, I couldn't wait to pop that in my PS2 and expand my love of a fantastic franchise. I was never a big Kingdom Hearts fan. I love the concept of it, like Final Fantasy and Disney mashed together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The game just never.
I tried to get into it, but it's one of those things where I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I started on the correct planet once you could choose. And there was just so much stuff that you could do.
It was huge.
And like, it was just like, even when I started it with the remastered version on PS3, I was just like, I'll probably just watch it on YouTube.
That's me with like every game. Shannon will hand me a controller and be like, hey, like you put on Limbo. And I had no idea what I was doing. And it was just, you only can go one direction. Forward.
Watching her play Limbo was awesome.
Actually, I think I was here for that.
You were.
I just kept going forward. Billy was there. He loved it. He kept laughing because I was just like, what am I doing? I just died.
She would just die in the most horrific ways and it was hilarious.
Because that's the game.
Because that's Limbo.
Remember Jordan tried to get her to play PT and he was so excited because he was trying to scare her.
Mm-hmm.
And she just sat there playing with a stone face. I think Jordan was getting scared at
parts
he had already played through.
Yeah.
That was a good time. Last comment is from our old friend Tanner Calvert. Tanner, we miss you. You said you missed doing the show. We miss having you on. Can't wait to see you again. He said, my favorite video game memory has to be sitting up all night watching my parents play Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo. It was always a night filled with laughter. I think my second was being invited by a buddy to play Halo and showing up and there's 17 other people there playing. So many catchphrases and inside jokes. Video games are great, but for me, they're nothing without having good people to enjoy them with. Amen to that.
Yeah. Yep.
And that makes me sad that so many of today's video games are online. There's so few couch co-op games.
Even the new, we talked about it on Nerd Up last week, even the new Ninja Turtles game that we were so hyped for, no couch co-op.
No, all online.
That's...
I mean, I get the technology is there that you can play online with other people, and that's great.
Yeah.
But imagine if Smash Brothers, because we play a lot of Smash Brothers here at the store. Imagine if Smash Brothers didn't have couch play. Like, we couldn't play each other here. You had to play online against other people.
I would never play
Would we enjoy it as much? No.
No.
Because there's just something about being able to look the person in the eye.
And trash talk.
Or just like, oh, okay, that was actually... Like, Jesse, I think I actually kind of impressed him a little bit tonight with some of the stuff that I... Because I've just been getting better.
Yeah.
Like, I started just so terrible. And now I'm just a little terrible.
You know I love Jesse.
We all love
Jesse. But I think one of the most condescending things I've ever heard him say was, I think yesterday, when he was talking about the difference between playing Call of Duty with you and with Steven, that when he plays with Steven, he plays with better people because Steven's a better player.
Oh, no, I didn't take that as condescending at all. Like,
I kind of did the way he spoke to you of I'm trying to remember the exact way he put it, but he was like, you know, because you're not as good of a player, the other players aren't as good. I'm not saying you're bad.
No. He's correct.
Yeah, and I know he wasn't trying to be.
I didn't take that as condescending at all. Like, I just, like, no, what he's saying is a factual statement that Steven is a much better player than I am. So then whenever, like, he's in a party with only Steven, they get paired up with better people. Whereas if he's only in a party with me, and, like, because, again, I've gotten a lot better at Call of Duty. Like, I would say I'm decent at it.
I think you're a better player than Steven.
No, I'm a quieter.
I can play with you and enjoy it.
I thought you were going to say the time that Asa and Jesse were playing Smash, and Jesse said, I mean, you're better than you used to be.
Oh, yeah, he, like, two-stocks me, and he's just like...
The look on Asa's face was not of someone that took a compliment.
Oh, come on, buddy. That was not a nice thing to say.
Well, we are out of time. We're actually a couple minutes over, but it worked out incredibly well. I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank the people that are listening to this on Gaming Grounds. Hope you enjoyed the show and check out more of our shows. We have on Podzilla1985.com. You can also download us on iTunes. We have a Patreon page. You can support us on there, patreon.com. Look up Podzilla1985. We're also on Redbubble if you want to buy some merchandise. We got all kinds of things going. And Asa and Allie, thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
It was a fun show.
It was.
Yes.
It was nice to talk about. I'm out of it. Like, my equilibrium is off. I'm so discombobulated right now. We're going to be back tomorrow talking about, pro wrestling on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Mm-hmm. Myself, Asa, Allie, and Dalton hopefully will be here with us. We're going to talk about Ryback. Big thing going on with him right now. The big guy has big problems.
Payback. Reaction show.
Raw. We're going to talk about, Adam Rose. The bloom's not off the rose yet.
Yep. I get it.
And Allie, you look like you are confused.
No, I'm not confused. I just, you know news that I don't.
Well, of course.
No.
We're
the go-to
we're
news
the newsmen.
for pro wrestling in Southeast Missouri.
Of course, it's the best wrestling podcast in the world.
I'm
Thank
a
you
part
guys.
Of it, guys.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll catch you tomorrow night. Have a great night. And, Asa?
Nah.
No. Allie?
No.
No.
Turtle power.
Sometimes things just kind of end without, you know,
without a lot of fanfare.
Yeah.